I speak to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. I just want to start by thanking the bishop for inviting me to spend a few days with Grant and retreat, especially, but also for the opportunity to share a few thoughts this afternoon. There was a priest named John who served in this diocese some years ago. Like Grant, he came to the Anglican priesthood later in life. Also, like Grant, he had a good amount of Irish in his background, and he was a consummate and enthusiastic storyteller. I remember John telling me the story about his ACPO experience. Now, for those of you who don't know what that acronym means, ACPO is the Advisory Committee for Postulants for Ordination. So a formidable title for a group with a formidable task. So ACPO's job was to hold a weekend once a year to meet with candidates for ordination and to determine their fitness to go to seminary and be ordained. John told me about arriving at his ACPO weekend and being brought into a large room in which all the discerners were sitting in a big circle with an empty chair in the middle. Of course, the empty chair was for John. So he sat, and after a few moments of silence, someone asked the first question. So John, why do you want to be a priest? John said that the question genuinely surprised him, and his answer surprised the team, and it may surprise some of you as well. This was his response. I never said I wanted to be a priest. I have had a long and satisfying career in government, and I was looking forward to a long and relaxing retirement. Being a clergyman is not my idea of a stress-free way to spend my golden years. I'm here because I haven't been able to escape a relentless call to pursue ordination. This wasn't my idea, folks. I'm here because I believe that this is where God wants me to be. So the scripture readings we just heard go to great lengths to tell us that we are chosen. But what exactly does this mean? I suspect that most of us in this culture think of being chosen as the end of a process that we ourselves have engineered. It means getting what we want. I'm chosen for a job or a position from a field of competitors because I have made myself the most attractive candidate. Being chosen for us often means getting my way because I am special. It means getting what I deserve. Does anybody relate to this? We live in a culture in which personal choice has become paramount, or rather where the illusion of personal choice has. How often are we asked to like something on Facebook as if our preferences and choices are supremely important? How often are we aghast when the world or the government or the church fail to coincide with our choices and fail to meet our expectations of what they should be? This illusion of personal choice, of course, is the foundation of the consumer society of which we are all a part. We are bombarded with messages designed to convince us that our world is nothing but a series of wonderful choices, if only we are willing to work hard enough to accumulate the money needed to claim them. We are convinced that we are always the choosers, even when we are the ones being chosen. So if we can refrain from reading that understanding into today's scriptures, I suggest that what we will find is something very different indeed. Not that we have chosen God. Not that we deserve God's love. Not that we have won some celestial competition. But that God chooses each of us. And that it is in God's nature to choose us. And to invite us into a life of service to the divine plan. To go where God wants us to go. For those who come before a bishop to be ordained, knowing a tenacious and inescapable call seems to be a fairly universal experience. Those sitting up here with me in clerical garb might agree that the priesthood is not a career one chooses because it is rational. It isn't for the prestige. It certainly isn't for the money. It is not a career that one chooses from a list of possible livelihoods. Of course, the priesthood can be satisfying, full of joy, and at times a grand adventure. But I can't imagine anyone flourishing in or even surviving the priesthood who enters it simply because they thought it was kind of a good idea. "You have not chosen me," Jesus said. "I have chosen you." God's pursuit of us often manifests itself in unexpected ways. Grant's first inkling of God's call came when he encountered the Immaculate Heart of Mary sisters who taught him in high school. It was their communal life that so attracted him and moved him that set him on a path to explore the possibility of living in religious community himself. That path led him to the Oblate Fathers, where he was at times told to go to places where he was happy to go, and at other times to places he would never have chosen in a million years. As an Oblate Father, he experienced deep satisfactions as well as arduous challenges. When he met a young woman with flaming red hair and a heart to match, he was led into a deep friendship and then into the intimacy of marriage, where he encountered God in new and different ways. And yet again, God brought his beloved Neil into Grant's life, and he experienced the wonder of fatherhood, and his relationship with God entered new depths. Through it all, Grant remained open to the nudging, the prodding, the movement of God in his life, to doors that closed and to others that opened. And it has all led him to this afternoon with all of us to priesthood in the Anglican Church. God has chosen Grant, and God will choose how Grant will serve, with a little help from the bishop, of course. But the agenda is not Grant's, the agenda is God's. An agenda written in the people who will appear in Grant's life, needing the specific grace that is his measure. Growth in Christian maturity comes to us as we learn to relinquish our preferences and our choices and allow ourselves to be recruited as servants of the divine agenda. As we respond to the urgings of the Spirit, as we say yes to God, Grant appears before us this afternoon with that yes on his lips and in his heart. But being chosen by God is not always an easy thing. The 19th century English poet Francis Thompson felt the pursuit of God. He felt it as his life went off the rails, as he became addicted to opium and lived as a street person in the roughest parts of London. God's grace finally found Thompson in the form of a prostitute who befriended him and helped him out of addiction and poverty. He chronicles his experience in his poem, The Hound of Heaven. Many of you will be familiar with these now famous verses. "I fled him down the nights and down the days. I fled him down the arches of the years. I fled him down the labyrinthine ways of my own mind. From those strong feet that followed after, but with unhurrying chase and unperturbed pace, deliberate speed, majestic instancy, they beat. And a voice beat more instant than the feet. All things betray thee, who betrayest me." So the flight from God that Thompson describes is a path that we all find ourselves on from time to time, and it isn't a pleasant place to be. But here is the good news, that God pursues us not to manipulate or dominate us, not to fool us, not to rule us, or to make us unto unthinking slaves. God pursues us that we might know the fullness of divine love, and in order that we might become our best selves, that we might know the power and grace to change lives and to change the world. God has pursued Grant for reasons that he or we may never know fully, reasons that will only become evident in the mundane, day-to-day work of the priesthood, of loving both the lovable and the unlovable, of serving those who will be grateful and those who will respond with ingratitude. those who will hear his teaching and preaching with open hearts and minds, and those who will respond with resistance or indifference. We are each chosen by God to be manifestations of God's grace in our own unique way. It is only for us to assent, to say yes, and to commit ourselves to the mystery of the divine agenda. Another poet, Hafiz, wrote some 600 years ago that responding to the divine call and knowing God's purpose for our lives is simple. Simple even enough for a child. He wrote this: "Every child knows God, not a God of names, not a God of don'ts, not a God of strange behaviors, but a God who only knows four words and keeps repeating them, saying, 'Come dance with me, come dance with me.'" So today, Grant has assented to enter the dance of God in a new way. He is ready and willing to learn some new moves on a new dance floor. And the metaphor of the dance, of course, is a rich one. It reminds us that we are not in this alone and that we must learn to move in sync with one another and with the divine. The divine dance, like all dance, requires us only to have courage, to trust, and to learn to let go. And today we are all invited to join the dance with Grant, to dance to a divine, joy-filled music. We only need to listen carefully with uncluttered hearts. Grant, may you always find the divine dance to be a source of joy and freedom. May it lead you to new and unexpected adventures. May you always know in your heart that you are chosen, and that your most important job as a priest is to help others know that they too are called to live in the grace, the love, and the liberty that God has chosen for each of them. May God bless you on this special day. Amen.